Well, glad you're here this morning. Trust you've had a good week. We are taking a break from our study in the book of Acts for a couple of weeks, and we are focusing on all the events that are happening in the Middle East. Israel has declared war on Hamas and is right now preparing for a ground invasion of Gaza after an unbelievably brutal attack in the early morning hours of Saturday, October the 7th, that killed more than 1,200 innocent Israeli citizens. Last week, we asked ourselves a couple of questions about all of this that's going on. We said, how in the world did Israel get to this point in her history? How did she get there? And being the center of a major conflict like this. We also asked ourselves a question, what does this mean for us as we sit here in Jackson, California over the next days, weeks, and months, depending on how long this conflict continues? To answer all those questions, we took our Bible and poured them through it to see what in the world would come out. And the answers took us back to the book of Genesis, where we met a man by the name of Abraham. Abraham's story really begins in chapter 12 of Genesis, where God had called Abraham out from the land that he was living, the land of Haran, and God said, Abraham, I'm going to take you to a new land that I will show you and I will give you that land. God then made three promises to Abraham, which we refer to as the Abrahamic covenant. Those three promises were simply this. Number one, I promise to give you a land of your own. I promise to make you a great nation. And I promise to bless all people of the world through you. Three very important promises. We also met last week Ishmael and Isaac, two of Abraham's sons. Ishmael was born through a man-made plan that Sarah had, and Sarah said, here's how we're going to accomplish God's promise. Abraham, I want you to have sexual relationships with my maidservant Hagar, and because of that relationship, Ishmael was born. That was man's plan. Isaac was born miraculously, as Abraham and Sarah were well beyond childbearing age, to both of them as a promise to what he said would be fulfilled, that they would have a son, and that son would allow them to become, Abraham, to become a great nation. Now, we also saw last week that Ishmael, who was born by man's plan, is the father of the Arab nations. Isaac, who was born as God's fulfillment of his miraculous plan, is the father of the Jewish nation. One side, the Arab nations, want the other side, the Jewish nation, dead, annihilated, pushed off the face of the earth. We learned about Jacob, one of Isaac's sons, who was in a land where there was a famine at that point in history. Because of that famine, he moved his family to Egypt to survive. While they were there, the Jewish people grew to such a number that the Pharaoh in charge became fearful of them, and because of that, put them under the yoke and bondage of slavery. They were there for over 400 years, we learned, until God called a man to deliver them out of slavery. That man's name was?
Moses.
God then chose another man by the name of Joshua to lead these people into the promised land that God had promised to Abraham that he would give them. We then looked at a modern day map, and we saw that the land that was promised to Abraham that Joshua had led the children of Israel into was a land that we are familiar with today as called the land of Israel. Israel has occupied that land from thousands and thousands of years ago. There was no Arab occupation. There was no Palestinian occupation. There was no occupation from any other persons but Israel. After many, many years of disobedience, though, to God's plan, God pronounced judgment on the nation of Israel. They were taken into captivity, and from that point in time, dispersed throughout the world for thousands of years. But God did not give up on the nation of Israel, did he? He has said in his word that he would draw them all back at a certain point in history to that promised land, which is where they are today in the Middle East, the nation of Israel. That was fulfilled in May of 1948 when Israel became a nation for the third time. Now, we also learned from that moment in time when Israel became a nation that their Arab neighbors have consistently worked to annihilate them, to push them out into the sea, because one side wants the other side dead. Which the latest push in that direction has come from Hamas, Israel's neighbor in Gaza. We ended up our time last week taking a little bit of time to look at Hamas and who they are, because most of us know very little about them. We learned some important things, that they are an Islamic terrorist organization. Number two, they want all Jews exterminated, they want all Christians exterminated, and they want to control the world. Number three, they will not recognize Israel as a nation. They will not live in peace next to Israel, and they will never negotiate. What a neighbor to have. We also learned that Hamas does not do anything on its own accord, because the strings are pulled by another nation by the name of Iran. Iran funds and arms Hamas. Israel's biggest enemy is Iran. And Iran is the world's largest terrorist funding organization and state and nation. But Iran has a very interesting ally in the world that we live in today. And that ally is
Russia.
Russia. I want you to listen to a couple of news reports from Reuters, a very large worldwide nation organization who puts out news on a consistent basis. This comes from a report from them from September of this year, 2023. Relations between Russia and Iran have reached a new level despite opposition from much of the Western world. Russia's defense minister, Sergei Shoigu, said during his visit to Tehran in September, "We are aiming at an entire range of planned activities, despite opposition from the United States and its Western allies." Iran's Tasnim news agency reported that Russia's Minister of Defense also visited the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps Aerospace Force on Wednesday, where he met the head of the Revolutionary Guard's Aerospace Force while they showed him Iran's drones, missiles, and air defense systems. That was in September. Russia and Iran. Very unique alliance in 2023. And that alliance puts a very interesting biblical reality on the table that we're going to see if we can unpack a little bit this morning to help all of us understand how this fits into God's prophetic plan and Jesus coming back. You ready? All right, buckle up. First Baptist Church, here we go. You got your Bibles? Hold them up. Repeat after me. This is the Word of God.
This is the Word of God.
It's more powerful than a two-edged sword.
It's more powerful than a two-edged sword.
And I love the Word of God. Father, we thank you today for your Word. Without it, where would we be? We would have no map. We would have no chart. We would not know where to go. But you have given us your direct communication for your children throughout generations so that we would not have to fear, we would not have to worry, but that we could rest in your presence. Today, speak through me. May everyone forget my words, but remember yours. Holy Spirit, put them deep into our hearts. We pray this in your powerful name, and all God's people said,
Amen.
I want you to take your Bibles today and open up to an Old Testament book, the book of Ezekiel. Now, I know for most of us, we don't read Ezekiel very often, so it may be hard to find. It's toward the middle to the end of your Old Testament. If you have read in Daniel, you can find Ezekiel right before Daniel. If you've never or have are new to navigating through a Bible, at the beginning of your Bible is a table of contents. Use that table of contents, find the Old Testament, find the book of Ezekiel, and we're going to start reading today in chapter 38. Chapter 38. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not there, say, please wait for me.
Please wait for me.
Okay. We will wait. It's good for Bible students to use their Bibles to navigate. Sometimes even a tablet works nice because you can make the letters big and you can really see them good, huh? Because a lot of times the Bible, the print is so small. Okay, Ezekiel chapter 38. Everybody there?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Here we go. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, set your face toward Gog of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal, and prophesy against him. And say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O God, prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal, and I will turn you about and put hooks into your jaws, and I will bring you out, and all your army, horses and horsemen, all of them, splendidly attired, a great company with buckler and shield, all of them wielding swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Put with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer with all its troops. Beth Togarma with the remotest parts of the north with its troops. Many peoples with you. Be prepared and prepare yourself, you and all your companies that are assembled about you, and be a guard for them. After many days, you will be summoned. In the latter years, you will come into the land that is restored from the sword, whose inhabitants have been gathered from many nations to the mountains of Israel, which had been a continual waste, but its people were brought out from the nations, and they are living securely, all of them. And you will go up, and you will come like a storm, and you will be like a cloud covering the land, you and all your troops, and many peoples with you. Thus says the Lord God, it will come about on that day that thoughts will come into your mind, and you will devise an evil plan. And you will say, I will go up against the land of unwalled villages. I will go against those who are at rest and live securely, all of them living without walls and having no bars or gates, to capture spoil and to seize plunder, to turn your hand against the waste places which are now inhabited and against the people who are gathered from the nations and have acquired cattle and goods who live at the center of the world. Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish with all its villages will say to you, have you come to capture spoil? Have you assembled your company to seize plunder, to carry away silver or gold, to take away cattle and goods, to capture great spoil? Therefore prophesy, son of man, and say to Gog, thus says the Lord God, on that day when my people Israel are living securely, will you not know it? And you will come from your place out of the remotest parts of the north, you and many peoples with you, all of them riding on horses, a great assembly and a mighty army, and you will come up against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. It will come about in those last days that I shall bring you against my land in order that the nations may know me when I shall be sanctified through you before their eyes, O God. Let's stop right there. Take a deep breath. Woo! What in the world is going on that Ezekiel is talking about? This is a very interesting piece of scripture, a very interesting prophecy that God has there for us to read. And it really becomes more interesting, especially in 2023, when you look at all those names that are put on the table. Now, the prophet Ezekiel talks about a number of different names. Most of them we're not very familiar with. Gog, Magog, Tubal, Meshach, Persia, Ethiopia, Put, Gomer, Betokma. All these names, and we go, okay, that's great. We don't know them. Well, today, let's see if we can change that a little bit. That all of us this morning might be able to leave here with a little bit better understanding of what's going on here in Ezekiel and who these people or places are. So let's start with the two names at the beginning, Gog and Magog. Have you ever heard those two names before?
Yes.
Okay. Gog and Magog. Gog sounds like he is a person in this prophecy, because the Bible says that he is from the land of Magog. So in order for us to find out a little bit more about who Gog is, first let's see if we can figure out where in the world is the land of Magog. Magog. Now, when you first hear that name, the land of Magog, it kind of sounds like it could be somewhere in J.R. Tolkien's story of the Hobbit. Far, far away in the land of Magog. Or it sounds like it could be from C.S. Lewis's in the Chronicles of Narnia, some land away called Magog. So to start with, what I'd like you to do is take your Bibles and open up to the book of Genesis, chapter 10. Genesis chapter 10. Again, an easy book to find in the Bible. It's the first one, and we're going to be in chapter 10. Leading up to chapter 10, there has been a worldwide flood where Noah and his family were saved. The flood has been receding. God has provided a rainbow as a covenant, and the land has dried out, and now the families are dispersing. So we get to chapter 10. It says, now these are the records of the generations of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Who are they? The sons of Noah. And sons were born to them after the flood. The sons of Japheth were Gomer and who?
Magog.
I want you to notice that at the very beginning. You go, where is the land of Magog? I've never heard of that. Or what? Where does this even come in the Bible? Well, we go all the way back to the book of Genesis, and we find that Magog is one of the sons of Japheth. Now, this is where things begin to get interesting. Ethnologists. Anybody know what an ethnologist does? An ethnologist is an academic field and discipline that studies and compares the characteristics of different people, their relationships to them, and where they migrate. That's what an ethnologist does. Ethnologists tell us that this descendant of Japheth, Magog, he migrated to the north of Asia Minor beyond the Caspian Sea and the Black Sea. Okay? So if we look at a map and we say, all right, what is north of Israel beyond the Caspian and the Black Seas, we find a landmass that we might refer to as what?
Russia.
Very interesting. Okay. Meshach and Tubal. Those are also sons of Japheth mentioned in Genesis chapter 2. These sons also migrated to the north. So when we look at a map, ethnologists identify them as maybe going to southern Russia, Ukraine, possibly the Republic of Georgia, and Tubal as an area in central Turkey. So no matter how you interpret this point of scripture, there's no doubt that the general area being talked about in Ezekiel includes portions of Russia, the Soviet Union, and possibly some Arab countries. Everybody with me? So now that we have a good idea of where the land of Magog is, we want to know, what about Gog? What about Gog? Who is this Gog from Magog? Well, it seems very clear that the general area being talked about here in Ezekiel are portions of Russia. So at this point in time in history, today in 2023, who is the prince of Magog, the ruler over Georgia and other parts of the landmass? His name is Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin. Now, is Vladimir Putin Gog? Here's my answer. It could be, but it all depends on when this plays out in history. If it plays out in our lifetime, this piece of prophecy, then it could either be Vladimir Putin or his successor, if it plays out in our lifetime. But whoever the leader is of this area of landmass that we are familiar with as Russia, we know that this leader is going to lead an alliance of nations to war against who?
Israel.
Israel. Okay. Here's where we're going to fill in some of the blanks. Who are these nations that are mentioned that are going to gather to plunder the land of Israel and take the Jewish land? There are many names that are mentioned. Persia is mentioned. Persia is modern day Iran. That's interesting. Put is modern day Libya. Kush is modern day Sudan. Gomer is modern day Turkey. Beth Togmara is modern day Armenia. And Ethiopia? Well, that's modern day Ethiopia. These are the nations that the Bible says are going to gather through the leadership of God, who is the Prince of Rosh of Meshach and Tubal, the land to the far north. All of these places in the world are all currently militant Islamic states. Which basically means, as a militant Islamic state, that you have an express hatred for one nation. What nation do you think that might be?
Israel.
For Israel. And these nations want Israel wiped off the map. Now, as we read in the book of Ezekiel, we read about Sheba, Dedan, and the merchants of Tarshish, who basically plead against this invasion. They basically say, why in the world are you going to do this? Are you going to do this to plunder and take spoil? Sheba and Dedan, ethnologists think that these are areas associated with northern Africa. The merchants of Tarshish could be making reference to either Spain or Great Britain. But whoever they flesh themselves out to be, when the objections come, God, leading Magog and these alliance of nations, will have deaf ears to that, and the invasion will continue. So, if we look at the world that we live in today, in 2023, through the eyes of God's word, we would have to say that the land of Magog is very clearly defined as Russia and some of its surrounding neighbors. Does that mean that Gog, the Prince of Rosh and Tubal, is Vladimir Putin? Again, it could be. If it happens in our lifetime, it could be him or one of his successors. But whether it's Putin or somebody else, the Bible is very clear that the reason Magog comes with this alliance of nations is it comes to plunder where?
Israel.
Okay, I want you to soak that all in for a minute. That's a lot. We have a very important question that we want to answer too, and that is, when will this happen? Ezekiel has prophesied this, but when will it happen? Well, we know first of all that a very important event had to happen first before this could ever think about happening. What was that very important event?
Israel becoming a nation.
Israel being drawn back together into the land in 48. Now, something to think about. The Bible says that a generation will not pass that sees this happen before Jesus comes back. According to biblical standards, a generation fits somewhere between 70 and 80 years. Which puts us right in the middle of that picture. If things are fulfilled in the way that biblical scholars think they might be. But again, we don't know for sure. God is the only one who knows for sure. So there's two basic thoughts about when this battle will happen. One of those thoughts is that this battle will happen before the tribulation begins. If that is the case, then we could be watching the preliminary events happening right before our eyes. The other is that this battle happens right after the tribulation begins.
Yes.
Which would mean we would be watching the events happening right before our eyes, except we would not see it come to fruition. Why? Because of the rapture. So those are two views on when this battle will happen. Right before the tribulation, which would mean it would happen right before the rapture, or right after the rapture as the tribulation begins. Again, God is the only one who knows the exact timing, but we know for certain, for certain that this leader will lead an alliance of nations from the far north to attack Israel to plunder its land. Now, the Bible says something that I thought was very interesting. Look at Ezekiel again, chapter 38. Verse 4. And I will turn you about, he's talking to Gog, the leader of, from the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, and Tubal, and Meshach. He says, I will turn you about and put hooks into your jaw. And I will bring you out, all your army horses and horsemen, all of them. So it sounds like at this point in time, Gog from the land of Magog, God is doing something to pull him into this conflict. He's putting hooks in his jaws. In other words, Gog, Russia, doesn't necessarily, they're not excited about being a part of this conflict. But something happens that draws them into this picture besides their alliance with Iran. What in the world could be a hook that could draw them into this conflict? Well, I want to give you a possible idea.
Natural gas.
In September of 2022, the Energen company announced to Tel Aviv and London stock exchanges that its Hermes exploration well in Israeli maritime waters has yielded a commercial gas discovery of 17 to 15 billion cubic meters, which is a ton of natural gas right in the waters of this very small country called Israel. Now, just speculation, but if there is anything that a large world power needs right now, it is energy. Especially if this world power is going to make some moves militarily in the Middle East. Let that soak in. Now, regardless of who God is, we know that he is going to lead an alliance of nations into Israel to plunder Israel. What does Russia need that Israel has? It's really obvious. It sits right there on top of the table. Now, according to Ezekiel, Magog, who attacks Israel, will not win. Did you catch that? Magog, who attacks Israel, will not win. Look at Ezekiel chapter 39. Now let's go to 38. Stay in 38. Stay in 38. Verse 18, and it will come about on that day when Gog comes against the land of Israel, declares the Lord God, that my fury will mount up in my anger. And in my zeal and in my blazing wrath, I declare that on that day there will surely be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. And the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, the beasts of the fields, all the creeping things that creep on the earth, and all the men who are on the face of the earth will shake at my presence. The mountains will also be thrown down. The steep pathways will collapse, and every wall will fall to the ground. And I shall call for a sword against him on all my mountains, declares the Lord God. Every man's sword will be against his brother. And with pestilence and with blood I shall enter into judgment with him, and I shall rain on him and on his troops and on the many peoples who are with him a torrential rain with hailstones, fire, and brimstone. And I shall magnify myself, sanctify myself, and make myself known in the sight of many nations, and they will know that I am the Lord. Verse chapter 39, and you, son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. I shall turn you around, drive you on, take you up from the remotest parts of the north, bring you against the mountains of Israel. I shall strike your bow from your left hand, dash down your arrows from your right hand, and you shall fall on the mountains of Israel, you and all your troops, and the peoples who are with you. I shall give you as food to every kind of predatory bird and beast of the field. You will fall on the open field, for it is I who have spoken, declares the Lord God. God says, yes, there will be a powerful alliance that comes against my people, and it will look like they are going to be destroyed. But I, the Lord God of Israel, will stand up and defend them. I will send fire, hailstones from heaven, and the Bible also says that their sword will be against each other. In other words, there will be friendly fire that will kill these enemies of Israel. They will kill each other on the mountains of Israel. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. So, as we tie up our thoughts and study a little bit today, as we look at what is happening today in the Middle East, Israel has been attacked. They have declared war on Hamas. They are right now preparing for a ground assault on the land of Gaza. Hezbollah has been firing rockets from the north. Iran has been threatening. The United States has even put some gentle reminders that Israel only can respond in equality in their response. So the world is beginning to push back, not against Hamas, but against who?
Israel.
And now with this very interesting alliance between Iran, Russia, and it's all beginning to happen before our eyes. The cauldron is beginning to boil, Christ followers. No one knows exactly what's going to happen. No one knows what will happen tomorrow, the next day, next week, or next month, except God, Yahweh, the great I Am. We know He's sovereign, we know He's in control, and we know that Israel is His time clock. Keep your eyes on Israel, because God's prophetic time clock is moving more now than we have seen in all of our lifetimes. So, let's ask the question. What do we do? What can we do as this all begins to happen? I'm going to give you some suggestions. Number one, stay prayerful. Stay prayerful. I know you're probably already praying, but again, like I always tell you, just go farther. Just go farther. Pray for Israel, for their leadership. Pray for wisdom. Pray for the soldiers. There is going to be a battle. There are going to be casualties. There always are in war. Israel is doing its best to evacuate the Gaza Strip. Sad, many of the nations where these Palestinians can flee to are closing their borders because they do not want these Palestinians in their land. Very interesting. As the world says, oh, how bad Israel is, let's look at these neighbors who say, we don't want these people because of their history. So let's pray for the Palestinian people. God loves them. He wants them to come to know Jesus. God can soften their hearts. We need to pray for the Hamas leaders. They're evil. They are satanic. But God can save evil people like me and you. He can save Hamas. Anyone. So let's stay prayerful. We want to continue to do that. Number two, let's stay aware. Okay, as we have been doing some of our handgun training, our defensive handgun training, we've learned about different levels of awareness. The level awareness, we want to live in the yellow level of awareness, which means you keep your head on a swivel. You're aware of what's going on around you. You're alert. You look at people in their eyes. You watch what they're doing. You're aware of their body language. Because you need to understand, Christ followers, that not everybody in the world is good.
That's right.
Not everybody thinks like you think. You need to be aware of that. These are difficult days. And remember that we have an open southern border. Thousands and ten thousands of military-aged men have been crossing that border. And we don't know who they are. So Christ followers, stay aware. Be alert. Who's around you? What they're doing? Where they're going? That will be beneficial. Number three, stay informed. Stay informed. Now, that doesn't mean sit in front of your TV and watch news all day. Especially not our news outlets. Don't be sitting in front watching Fox, CNN, MSNBC, all these. You are only being fed what they want you to be fed.
That's right.
Okay? So, I suggest looking some other places for your news about what's going on in Israel. I'll give you a couple suggestions. AllIsrael.com. AllIsrael.com. Think about watching a little bit what's going on there. CBN. Watch a little bit of CBN and their news reports. Watch a little bit of Amir Tesfari. Behold Israel. Watch some other news outlets other than what you are being fed. That is not always the truth. Make sense? And read your Bible. Read your Bible. Make sure you are being founded and informed of what the Bible says about this time in history. Read your Bible. Okay, give you another one. Stay strong. Stay strong. Bible says, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you can resist in the evil day. I'm going to tell you, Christ followers, you and I are going to be tested more now than we were even last week. Do you stand for the Jews? Do you stand for Israel? As I read more about what the world is saying, they are classifying Israel as one of the largest evil regimes on the planet. And can you imagine someone you work with who says, are you kidding me, Robert? You stand with those Israelis, those evil people on the planet? Can you believe that, Danny? Do you would stand with them? You're some bigot, some crazy man. You're going to be tested, Christ followers, not just in your relationship with Jesus, but where you stand on this conflict, because it is getting deeper and deeper by the moment. One more, finish up today. Stay encouraged. Stay encouraged, Christ followers. There's no reason for you or I to fear a thing. God has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. He who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps.
Amen.
And the Bible says, when these things begin to happen, these are called birth pains. And when there's birth pains, you hear your wife scream in pain. But something exciting is happening in the midst of that pain, isn't it? A child is being born. Jesus said, children, when you see these things, when you hear these birth pains, run and hide! Quick, get to the mountains! You're in trouble! No, he didn't say that, did he? He said, when you see these things, these birth pains, and he says, look up! Look up, children, because your redemption draws nigh. You know what's amazing? To even try and comprehend this, that you and I could be living at that moment in history when Jesus returns. Let that filter through your system. Let that send some goosebumps up your spine. Because when we pour things through the Bible, it sure looks like the table is being set for all that God has said will happen. And you and I, as children of the King, get to be light and salt during this time in history, telling people that there's hope in Jesus.
Amen.
That Jesus is coming. People are going, what's going on in Israel? Why the big hoopla? And you can say, you know why? Because the Bible says that this could be the time in history before Jesus returns. You realize the Bible has prophesied these things thousands of years ago, and we are watching them happen in front of our eyes. What privilege that you and I have. Soak that in, Christ followers. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. Do not fear, God said, for I'm with you.
Amen.
Do not anxiously look about you. For I am your God. Surely I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Heaven is our home. This world isn't our home. We're just passing through.
Amen.
And just think about it. That passing through could only be a few years left, and Jesus comes back, or a few months, or a few weeks. So, look up. Aren't you thankful for the Word of God? Aren't you thankful that God gave us the email before it ever happened so that we can be aware and alert and have hope in our hearts? Father, we thank you for our morning. What a privilege we have to have your Word as a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We're excited as we watch what goes on. We listen. We want to be praying and aware, informed, and strong, and encouraged, because we're looking up. I know in my soul and my spirit, I sense something happening. I know many Christ followers are at that same moment going, what in the world? I sense something. Like, God is doing something amazing. And so we sit here today as your children among millions of other children throughout the world who are worshiping you, who are watching this all take place. And we all just crawl up on your lap and say, Abba, Father, Daddy, God, we're thankful to be here. We're going to snuggle down on your lap. We're going to rest in your presence. We're going to hold on to Jesus. And we're going to continue to be light and salt for you wherever we go. We thank you again for your Word that's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Pray this in the powerful name of Jesus, our Savior. All God's people said,
Amen. Amen.